We're going to do something different that we have never done here before. Being we're waiting on one poet, we are going to take the sign-in readers first. So that will be something new, because a lot of times the sign-in readers read last and everybody leaves. And so we're going to give them some fun tonight. Now, I will tell you something. You might not like all the poets, okay, that read. Everybody has choices in poetry. However, last week I asked the question, is it nice to be nice? And everybody said, yes, it is nice to be nice. So when somebody gets up here and reads, be nice to them and tell them it would not hurt you to give them a smile and a thumbs up, a little clap. Even if you just like the poem a little bit, maybe clap for them. Make them feel good about themselves. Because whenever you get up here to read, a lot of times you don't get a chance to read anywhere else except to your mom. So enjoy the person. Everybody be nice to the person, because they are showing you their heart. They're showing you their soul. So with that said, I'm going to run with the ball. The first poet is, it looks like, Artie Solomon. Yeah. Come on, Art. Hey, Artie, Artie. You can read one or two poems, no more than that.
Okay, good.
One or two.
I want to thank Hemingway's and Jimmy and Joan Bauer, and especially my friend Michael Worster, who was my mentor and really got me interested in writing poetry. And these are two quickies. Protection from Self-Abuse, my first one. She was a teenager, tangled in turmoil like so many, popping pills that came with no instructions. Monsters flew toward her, one after another, each more hideous. She cried out. He happened by. A stranger, a boy about the same age. Help me, stay with me, or I'll kill myself. He reached and held her hand, sat with her on the stoop, not knowing if it was stupid for him to sit the night long with a girl he would never see again. And secondly, Crave New World, about craving. Craving, not an option, not a possibility. Long years numb that away. Once craved all night orgies with my wife to be, that got us kicked out of our second floor apartment in Ron and Minnie's house. I once craved steak dinners with meat bleeding all over the plate, broiled in wine too expensive for anything except imbibing. I used to crave the deepest hints of sound a cello could make, or the softest piano notes Chopin could compose. The constant ringing in my ears, the factory of noise that I take with me everywhere, ended that. More than once, I craved the one piece of advice, that nugget of wisdom that would make sense of all this foolishness. Once I craved a magic mushroom or a potent pill that would jettison me on a journey that I could never predict, a total surprise party. But now, nearing the nighttime of this lifetime, I accept everything and crave nothing. Thank you very much.
Artie, Artie, all right there. That is what I like to hear. See, make Artie feel good, makes me feel good. The next one is Dean. Where you at, Dean? You're here somewhere, I know. Okay. Go ahead, buddy. Hey, Dean, all right, my man.
This first poem is called Logophilia / Logophobia. And the term logophobia was, I think, coined by an artist named Angelique Bricker, who has a ceramic sculpture at the Center for Contemporary Craft now. Words multiply the world. Each thing has a name, or several, and multiple descriptions in many tongues. Words swarm like bees, each hive buzzing with energy, concentrating the nectar of things into the honey of meaning. In these hives, all are queens. The logo mothers all spawn words, a nursery of neologisms. Hear the hum of synonyms, antonyms, homonyms, acronyms and jargon next to slang. Just past invective are the euphemisms. Lovers' private endearments lead to baby talk. Hear onomatopoetic burps and farts and whines. See rows and rows of cliches, all carefully tended by the workers who feed and groom the new arrivals, who are the future of the hive. These new words pollinate the world, relating things among themselves and each of us to one another. To get new things, we need new words, or all is mute and sterile. What would happen if the hives collapsed and all the logo mothers died? There'd be no joy in life's sweet fragrance, just fruitless routine, day on day. We'd all be locked in solitary cells, looking out in vain and lacking all connection. We'd be afraid of words, without hope or meaning, bereft, alone, lost. Thank you. Time for one more?
No, actually, no.
Okay.
Hey, hey, Dean, my man.
The good cop said yes, the bad cop said no. All right, Melody, where you at?
I'm right here.
Come on, where? I hear I'm right here. Come on, Melody. Hey, Mel, let's hear from Mel. All right.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Melody Plotz. This is Short City, Big Sky. I spent a year looking up in suspicion at a bewildering expanse of pale blue. For 20 years, I wondered, how can a clear day feel so wrong? Like a math problem, I showed my work on Pennsylvania walks with my husband. I muttered, I grew up with clouds, those chewy gray guardian shapes, imposing limits and watching over my movements. But it was more than clouds missing in that southwestern city. I ran back north before I understood the full picture. The tiny trees and buildings conspired to allow the sky more grandeur. At home, oaks humble the horizon, and skyscrapers provide elevators to penthouses. Long ago, I'd stood under an unstoppable sky. No family beside me, or familiar behemoth buildings to hide in. Maybe if I'd believed in God, I'd have accepted my smallness. Instead, for decades, that brief exposure made me squirm.
Thank you. Arlene Winner, come on.
Fan base. Ziggy Edwards was kind enough to put this in her stylish zine, Upagus.com, in the Squirrel Hill Poetry issue, which is up now. Steve Nolan says, it's the love life, the love life, the love life. David Brooks claims that the great loneliness began with smartphones, but I blame dishwashers because after big dinners, the ants would gather to scrape, wash, dry, and put away leftovers. And even on school nights, the youngest girl dried while an older washed, and there was quarreling, yes, the opposite of loneliness. In those days, men drove, and when there were four in a car, the two women sat in the back. And what I'm saying is men and women didn't expect so much of each other, not like now when a soldier sits on a toilet for 4 hours with the business end of a rifle in his mouth because his woman isn't his after all. Until another man persuades him there are other fish in the sea and gently takes the weapon away. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlene. The next poet is Tom Sawyer. Sawyer, get up here. All right, Sawyer.
This is just me fiddling around with the train of thought I had in May about 7 years ago, untitled. Osama is dead, the anchor man said, from the TV, in the break room of the clinic, on the airfield in Afghanistan. Eyes search for context inside skulls, mouths murmur contradicting words, shoulders shrug, heads swivel. What now? Back to work. Same war as before.
Now, I usually read a poem, but I'm not going to read one tonight. But I will tell you what the poem was about that I would have read. It is about the dreamers. I figured out how to build the wall. Have the dreamers build it. Make sure they stay on the Mexican side, and they put the build the wall. And because they would work for $2 an hour, and actually it would be like Mexico paying for it, wouldn't it? And we could even keep their children for a while. I just don't want to read that poem tonight because I am really bothered by people taking their children from them, as all of you should be. Enough said about that. And my last part of the thing I will tell you, why did the chicken cross the playground to get to the other slide? All right. That is as bad as you could get. All right. Did our poets show up yet? All of them? Oh, great. I'm going to let Joan take over here. And again, sign-in readers, let's hear it for these guys.